जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयो श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ भद्रं कन्ने विष्णुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षवीर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः यशेमदेवहितं यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरेः ॐ ॐ ओ गॉड्स May we always hear with our ears what is auspicious, O worshipful ones. May we with our eyes always see what is auspicious. May we live our allotted life hale and hearty, offering our praises unto Thee. May Indra of ancient fame bestow auspiciousness on all of us. May the all-nourishing portion be propitious to all of us. May Garuda, the destroyer of all evil, be well disposed towards all of us. May Brihaspati ensure all our welfare. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. So we are dealing with the last chapter of the sixth question in the Prashna Upanishad. There was one disciple called Sukesha Bhardwaja. He approached Pipalada. And on behalf of every other disciple, had asked the following question. Of course, every disciple was asking the questions on behalf of everybody else because they were all extremely keen to get Brahma Jnanam. That is why they approached the Sadguru, Pippalada. What was the question? You tell us about the nature of the world. Jagat, about the nature of the Jiva, because everything has come from that Paramatma. And that is what is called a Purusha with 16 manifestations. What does it mean? 16 manifestations consisting of this entire universe and Jiva, our body, our mind, and then the entire Jagat consists of these 16 colors. Let us recollect what it actually means. Then we will be able to understand. So, the fourth mantra of the sixth chapter gives us such a beautiful description of how God descends from Nirguna to Saguna until he becomes the entire Jiva and Jagat, along both consisting of both the Jada and Prana, that is the inert and those with consciousness. Sapranam Asrujata, that is, he the Paramatma, Prajapati, Saguna Brahma, had created this world. Creation, as we understand, as I mentioned many times, is not like a potter creating a pot or a mother giving birth to a baby, but like the clay becoming a pot. A pot is nothing but nama, rupa, guna of the clay. It was clay, it is clay, and it will be clay. This is how we have to understand, even if we do not understand now. That is how intellectually we have to understand, and that is why everything is divine. Just as when you have a dream, you become the entire dream world, Swapna Jagat. You become your own self, your individual self, and you become everything in the universe, the mountains, the rivers, the trees, the plants, the insects, the birds, the animals, all the other human beings, everything you have become. And then you interact with every one of them. That is how we have to understand. So there is a order in which it has come. First is prana. Prana means universal prana. Hiranya Garbha Sotratma. That is how we have to understand it. Ishvara, Divine Mother, Shakti, what Sri Ramakrishna used to call Shakti, etc. And she further descended. This is called involution. Slowly she had become so prana. What was the first descent? Prana. And prana became what? Shraddha. What is Shraddha? I mentioned earlier, Shraddha means knowledge. Knowledge, how he could descend up to the lowest atom. That is called Shraddha. That is Vedas. Complete faith in the Vedas. And the Vedas are having that knowledge, how the Creator created the world not once, but infinite number of times, putting himself into the mould. So, dhata yatha purvam asrujata. In the same way, here also, the Hiranyagarbha descended into prana, and prana created Shraddha, like that, 16 kalas. Kala means usually translated as 16 facets, 16 parts, but we have to understand 16 manifestations. And as I mentioned, this is beautifully described in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And there is, I will remind you what happened to Sri Ramakrishna. He used to visit people, famous people, respected by many people. They were not interested in him, but he used to go there, pay his respects. Someone asked him, why do you visit these people? After all, they are not interested in you. He used to say, it is my Divine Mother who is manifesting in all these forms. If I don't show my respect to her, because I clearly recognize my Divine Mother's power in all these. And this is beautifully outlined in the Chandi. Ya Devi Sarva Bhutesho, and then a catalogue in which forms Shraddha is one, Vidya, Buddhi, etc., etc., many forms. It is not that she gives these things, it is herself who is manifesting. The bodies are the Divine Mother, the minds are the Divine Mother, the Buddhi is the Divine Mother, the entire world is the Divine Mother. Above is Brahman, below is Brahman, left side is Brahman, right side is Brahman, all the eight directions is Brahman. This is so beautifully put forward in the Chandogya Upanishad. Brahma Urdham, Brahma Atastat, Brahma Dakshinataha, Brahma Uttarashaha. So, first prana, then Shraddha, and that is knowledge. From that knowledge came the five main ingredients, material, from which the entire Jiva Jagat has been created. What are those? Five gross elements, Panchabhutas, Akasha, Vayu, Agnihi, Jala, Prithivi, and the entire Jagat, the mountains, the rivers, everything is there, but different manifestations of these Panchabhutas only. That is why always we call this world as Prapancha. So this is the third manifestation. That is 3, 2, prana, 1, then Shraddha is another, then another 5 elements, that is 7. And 8, all the 10 sense organs, 5 of knowledge, 5 of action, they are but the manifestation of both these 5 elements, both gross as well as subtle. That is the 8th manifestation of that Purusha. Then, out of them, what rules is mind. Because it is the mind, the entire world is in the mind. While trying to understand, Loka means what the mind creates, how it looks, how it enjoys, how it reacts. Then, first it thought food, both physical food, subtle food, that is, the shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. So, from manaha came annam. And only when we eat annam, then it becomes energy, viryam. What does it mean? We have read about it earlier also, so that just to remind ourselves. Supposing you see a beautiful form, that is the food. And from the experience of that beautiful form, the food will come. What is the food? This is a beautiful object. I would like to come into contact with it. This is not so beautiful. I would like to run away from it. This is called food. These are the thoughts. But these thoughts require to be manifested as reactions. Actions and reaction. And every action consumes energy. That is called viryam, energy, vigor. And that is what food is supposed to be converted. When we eat even the physical food through the mouth and it is broken into pieces, then what, however tasty it is, it only becomes energy. The proteins, the carbohydrates, the minerals, the vitamins, etc. So this is the, from this food, an energy is created and this energy is distributed and again the entire body-mind complex works. Remember, every thought that we produce is also consuming. Every thought is a consumption of energy. And especially if our thoughts become emotions, and the stronger the emotion, the greater is the amount of energy that it destroys, actually, converts itself into. But every type of reaction is not good. In course of time, we learn the lesson. So then, we require to control our mind. However, crude a person, ignorant a person, even animals understand how to control themselves. Very interesting experiment has been done by Paolo. That is, he trained a dog. And then first he started giving food after ringing a small bell. And the dog associated this ringing of the sound of the bell is very good thing. And then it used to salivate. And then food is given. When this reaction, conditioning became quite strong, then Pavlov created another type of sound and he gives a small electric shock pain to the dog. And so it went on for some time. So the dog became accustomed. So whenever it hears the second type of sound associated with shock, pain, so it recoils automatically, starts trembling, and then it goes. Now, Pavlov did the third type of creation. What did he do? He started alternatively ringing the bells. The pleasant sound, the shock sound. Now the dog cannot determine which is which. So it salivates, it is recoiling in shock, and after some time, it lost its mind. So this is how conditioning occurs. And we are all conditioned beings. And that is why we require at least minimum amount of self-control. And that self-control is called tapasya or austerity. And it comes from deep thinking. We saw in the Bhrigu Valli how Bhrigu was asked. First, he was given a hint from where all the creatures are coming and in which all the creatures live. And again unto which all the creatures return. Go and do tapasya. Tapasa Brahma Vijignasasva. And then the Brahman is found out slowly, step by step. Why am I talking about Bhrigu Valli in the Prashna Upanishad? First of all Upanishads, they aim only at one thing, how to make us understand our true nature and where we are, how to slowly, step by step, ascend. Ascending means what? Upasana. Upasana means what? Contemplation. Contemplation means what? Slowly merging the gross into the subtle, and the subtle into the causal, and the causal into the great cause, Mahakarana. And that is the process, and for that only we are, the Upanishad is enumerating all these 16 manifestations. How it will work also, I will tell you now. So, self-control, and self-control, how does it come? Because thoughts will come before self-control. This is a very good thing. This is not a good thing at all. This gives me happiness, and this gives me unhappiness or suffering. Naturally, by nature, nobody wants suffering. Everybody is running after only happiness. So, those thoughts are those events which are the manifestations of thoughts. Remember, thought is subtle action. Action is the gross thought. Thought manifested in actual life is called action. So, these actions, they create the happy or suffering experiences, and they create the impressions, samskaras, and that makes us thoughtful. We are running after what makes us happy, running away from what makes us unhappy. So, this thought control is very important. For an ordinary person, the thought control will be that these objects give me happiness, so I want to acquire them, possess them, enjoy them, make them mine. And the other type of objects, they repel me, they create suffering for me, I want to get rid of them, I want to be far away from them. Then, these thoughts, they are controlled. But when the same mortal being advances a little bit, he said there are certain things which at the beginning give me happiness, but at the end, they end up always in suffering. Remember, in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Sukham to Idanim Shrunu. Three types of happiness, Tamasika, Rajasika, and Sattvika happiness. This is how gradually a person progresses. It is not that everybody has fallen from the sky, either as Tamasik, Rajasik, or Sattvik. No, at the beginning we are Tamasik, that is, we lack discrimination. Then we develop some discrimination, but still completely ruled, strictly controlled by Rajas. So, we work very hard and we try to enjoy, and then in the end, we pay the price. So, this is called Rajasika happiness, and then slowly, after a long time, slowly our mind evolves further. It is true, I get happiness, but this happiness in its turn, I have to pay heavy price. Is there a way without paying price, or pay for once for all, one-off payment, and I can get eternal happiness? And this is what a sattvika person does. That is called sattvika sukha. What is it? That which is like a poison at the beginning, but amruta, it becomes nectarian. That means it gives us atma jnanam at the end. That is called sattvika happiness. So, this is how the tapasya, self-control, comes. So, this is the 12th one. Then, from the self-control, certain ideals emerge. These thoughts are good, these thoughts are not good. The contact with these objects is very, very helpful. This is degrading, downgrading, and they bring only suffering. And this is called upasana, this mantra, that which saves. What is a mantra? It is nothing but a thought which can save us extremely well. This is called mantra. Mananat trayate iti mantraha. And these thoughts, naturally, like earlier thoughts, which thoughts? The thoughts without self-control, like an animal, tamasic and rajasic thoughts, they only end up like poison. Means a terrible amount of suffering. But even the mantras propel us, inspire us to do those actions which are very good for us. Take the name of God, offer everything to God, pray to God, surrender to God, cultivate satsanga, now and then seek solitude and think more intensely about God, always discriminate nitya, anitya, vastu, viveka, finally offer every action unto God, which is called karma yoga, live like a maid servant, all these commandments will come. But all these four commandments are rooted in that first sankalpa, that thought, I am suffering, I am bound, I must become completely free. In other words, I must become my God, I must become godlike, so I must go back to my mother, I must control my thoughts, I must manifest my divinity, etc., whatever name, whatever way you express. And the way to that is these four yogas, and four yogas can manifest in infinite number of ways with different Ishta Devatas, chosen deities, different names, different sadhanas, whether it is tantric, pauranic, or vaidic, etc., or belonging to Bhakti Marga, etc. So, 13th is mantras. What is mantra? Whereby certain thoughts regulate our life and they possess us and they will not allow us to do anything else. That is called mantra. And these mantras, these powerful thoughts, with every passing day, they become stronger and stronger, but they must issue in appropriate action. What are those actions? Just now I mentioned the four commandments of Sri Ramakrishna. Cultivate holy company, seek solitude, discriminate all the time, and live an unattached life like a maid servant. Do everything perfectly. Yoga karma sukaushalam. Dexterity in action is called yoga. There are three definitions of yoga is given in the Bhagavad Gita. The very first definition is dexterity. What is dexterity? It is not only concentration, not only intelligent way of doing, but that is not meant here. Kushala, that is skillfulness. What does it mean? It means you do 100 different activities, but all of them yield only one result. They don't yield 100 different results. One result. What is that result? Slowly, it leads us from the world to God, away from the world towards God. That is the karmasu kaushalam. But then, it is also necessary at the same time, samatvam yoga uchyate. Yoga, what is yoga? It is, let there be happiness, unhappiness, let there be cold and heat to torment me, that is victory and defeat, and gain and loss, and honor and dishonor, let anything come to me, but I am not going to be overwhelmed by it. So, that samatva, all these actions called rites, rites means in the olden times, they used to call karma kanda, but Swami Vivekananda has transformed them. Anything you do, if a sweeper sweeps, that is his duty, but if he knows that this can take me to God, that is karma yoga, then he can also reach the way, he is manifesting his inherent divinity. So it is not what we do, but it is with what attitude, with what motivation. Motivation should be God realization. Attitude should be that I am not much affected. This is called mind control. Other than this, there is no mind control at all. So all these Vaidic karma kanda supposed to purify our heart, chitta shuddhi. First, bring about ekagrata, concentration. Second, third, chitta vaishalyata. Our identity with the entire universe should go on expanding, and we must not be deviated from our goal. That is called samatvam. That is, look upon every event that happens with equal eye, called equanimity. And this is expressed in the third way. Even if intense suffering comes, the person has it as if someone else is suffering. I am not suffering. That attitude is the third definition of yoga. So, every right. And as I said, you are working the office, you are cleaning the lavatory, or you are experimenting in the laboratory, or you are driving a car, you are cooking food, you are studying as a student, you are a housewife, you are a doctor, you are a lawyer. Anybody who adopts this Vedantic method will be a first-class housewife, first-class office worker, first-class student, because, as I said, it is not what we do, but how we do it. That is the purpose of this Vedic Karma Kanda. Nowadays, it is simply called Karma Yoga. This was what Swami Vivekananda so beautifully elaborated in his Karma Yoga. This is the 14th manifestation of the Purusha in the form of the karma. Because every karma gives its result, karma phala. And that karma phala comes to us in the form of jati, ayu and bhoga. Next birth is determined in which species am I born, in which family, in what type of body, how long am I going to be on this earth, and what are all the things that I do. That is, how do I make spiritual progress? That is what is said here. So, these are called karma kanda. Karma kanda produces karma phala. Karma, all the karma phalas are divided into form of the lokas, worlds. That is, we are the creators of our own loka. That is why a very important meaning I told. How many lokas are there? As many minds, as many thoughts, so many lokas are there. So, don't be under any illusion that we are all living in the same world. A child, a man, a woman, a sportsman, a ruler, a servant, an office manager, a businessman, each one. There is no resemblance with anybody else, wife, husband, children, parents, etc. Each one of us are cocooned, as it were, in our own world. As the result of what we do, how we do, with what motivation, and those what is called three definitions of yoga, we have to apply consciously. And then we, different names we create. This is a tree, this is an animal, etc. Because every object should be separated from every other object. So it determines what form the object has, even if there are 100 different cows, as Upanishad tells. There is a cowherd and he is looking after 100 or 1,000 cows, and that person knows all the 1,000 cows by name. Talented people are there, because when he calls by a particular name, that cow comes. So, apply it to everything in this world, and everything has a name, so that name brings knowledge. What knowledge? This is this sweet. That is that sweet. Do I like it? How much I should take it? Every one of my action depends upon these names. First comes names, then comes knowledge, then comes world, and it stems from what is called Vedic rites. And Vedic rites stem for certain type of dominant thoughts called mantras. And these mantras are determined by our self-control, thoughtful mind, tapasya. And this tapasya is possible only because of the right type of food that we eat, and this right type of energy we have. Because you see, why I am telling, that supposing somebody wants to jump 7 feet, what is called high jump. Is it possible for a dwarf to do that? Probably, most probably not. It requires a certain type of body, etc., etc. And not only that, certain type of energy is necessary. And it is the energetic person who can do better things in whatever work that person undertakes. This is called viryam. And viryam comes from food. And food, again, is determined by the mind. And the mind gets all the food from the sense organs. And the sense organs are produced from the 5 subtle, 5 gross elements. And all these 10 elements, 5 gross bhutas and 5 subtle bhutas, panchabhutas, panchatanmatras, they are all produced from, manifested from prana. And prana is nothing but manifestation of Purusha. What a marvelous description of the how God involves. This is what Swami Vivekananda said, involution, descent of God into the very lowest atom, and then again evolution, involution and evolution. And we have come a long way. According to our understanding, 84 lakh janmas have been taken, and that is what we are going up. We are very fortunate to have this human body, because animals, non-humans, do not attend Upanishad classes. And every human being doesn't attend Upanishad classes. Only fortunate few, they attend these Upanishad classes. So, though I have spoken about it earlier, but I want to impress. Why? Because these are the steps, as it were, from where we are, we have to ascend one by one. So, these 16 manifestations called kalas are 16 steps of descent from the highest to the lowest, called involution, and manifestations of the great Purusha or Paramatma. From the Purusha to the kalas is the direction of the seeming involution. This is the tack or view taken by Advaita Vedanta. Does the Lord really descend? Does the infinite become finite? This question was put to Swami Vivekananda. And he said, how does the infinite become finite? This question comes in the Jnana Yoga. Swami Vivekananda replied, ask me a rational question, I will give a rational answer. What are you saying? The infinite has become finite. Is it possible for the infinite to become finite? Is it possible for the Purna to become this finite world? Purnat Purnam Udachyate. So, you take 1% or 10% of the infinite ocean. Is it possible? It is not possible at all. But that is why it is said, seeming involution of the infinite to finitude. This is the story of God's devolution to become the Jagat world and this Vishva, Taijasa and Pragna, Jivatma having 3 states of experience. This is what we call Purnat Purnam Udachyate. So, this is the description, most marvelous description. I don't think you will get it anywhere in such details. In short, we are talking about our whole life in this world. So, that Purusha, Ajayamano Purushaha, he is unborn, he remains unborn, he seems to be born. This is called Srishti Prakarna. Why is this question asked? I explained earlier. That is so that you show me the first step, show me where is the ladder, and I will go to the ladder by following your instructions. And once I reach the ladder, then I don't need you. I will slowly, step by step, I will ascend. And this is the modern, what we call biological evolution, from inorganic to the organic, and from the what is called amoeba, or one-celled, two-celled, four-celled, 16-celled, 256 cells, or the crawling worms, or plants, or birds, or animals, and low-class human beings, unthinking human beings, uncultured human beings, and the world is full of them. They may be PhDs, what we call permanent head damage people. But where is their goal? As Ramakrishna says, the vulture soars very high, but its sight is fixed on the rotting carcass. And most of the people in the world are like that only. His Upanishad is not meant for them, but they will also get an opportunity. We don't know how much time it takes. That is up to God and their own self-effort. Now the Apavada. What did we talk? We called about Adhyasa, the superimposition, and then now apavada. That is, first accept there is a world, it is real, and this is how God descended. This is called creation. Now, a denial. What is the denial? I'll just remind you. Bhrigu was instructed, go and do tapasya, and he was given certain mantras. What are those mantras? Yatova imani bhutani jayante, yena bhutani jivante, yat prayantya visambhishanti iti. And then, slowly, Bhrigu did tapasya. What did he do? I was thinking, I was an individual. Now, I can identify myself with the entire world called Virat. This is the ascending the first step. According to Taittiriya, third chapter called Bhrigavalli, there are five steps and the sixth step are roof. Sixth is the roof. Five are the steps. Then he understands, I am an individual, even as Virat, that is Anna Brahma, that is entire physical structure, and I must go deeper. What controls this world is called prana, pranamaya kosha, from annamaya kosha to pranamaya kosha. Now, a magic takes place. When Bhrigu identified himself with annamaya kosha, he said, I am the annamaya kosha. But as soon as he ascended to the pranamaya kosha became my real nature or his real nature here, and annamaya kosha has become anatma. With a very higher step, the higher step becomes one's nature, and the lower step, which the person sadhaka was before, becomes anatma. Anatma means, don't say it is mithya, don't say it is unreal. You have to say, I was thinking this is the whole, but now I know that is only a small part. But pranamaya kosha is the whole. How long? Until he reaches universal pranamaya kosha. That is, every prana is my own prana. And then what does he become? He sees, this is an effect and I am controlled by somebody. And then he ascends through tapasya, and then he identifies, I am the cosmic mind, universal mind. Then what happens? Just as in this state of pranamaya kosha, just as annamaya kosha became the anatma, in the state of manomaya kosha, pranamaya kosha becomes anatma. Means what? Annamaya kosha becomes merged in pranamaya, expands into pranamaya. Pranamaya expands now into manomaya. Manomaya expands into vijnanamaya. Vijnanamaya expands itself into anandamaya. But that is also limitation. I don't want, as Sri Ramakrishna says, I will describe everything, how the Kundalini rises. When he reached the sixth center, Agna Chakra, told my children, so there is only one small borderline between me and Nirguna Brahma. Now I will tell you about it. And then he became merged in the Nirguna Brahma. Who is to tell? Again and again he tried. He said, I want to tell you. I want to disclose everything. But the Divine Mother is not allowing me. And Sharadananda is writing in his great master. This good man wants to tell us about Nirguna Brahma, but where from this useless woman has come? He calls mother, and she is preventing him. Why should she have headache when Sri Ramakrishna doesn't have the headache? Did we then understand? Sri Ramakrishna was attempting to do the impossible as possible. Because who is there to tell? Who is there to whom he can tell? So, Sri Ramakrishna said, that is, one has to experience, one can, but there is no description. That is why Sri Ramakrishna says, everything in this world is polluted by coming out of one's mouth, but Brahman alone is not polluted. So, this Brahman he was talking about is a polluted Brahman. But nobody can say excepting neti neti, not this, not this. So, what is the neti neti? That instrument through which we negate everything is the first, not this. And then this instrument also has to be discarded. That is the meaning of the సెకండ్ నేతి. మార్వలస్ థింగ్. సో దిస్ ఈస్ వాట్ కాల్డ్ అపవాద ప్రక్రియ. వాట్ ఈస్ అపవాద? గ్రాడ్యువల్లీ యాజ్ వి అసెండ్ ది లోయర్ స్టెప్ బికమ్స్ ఇంక్లూడెడ్ ఇన్ ది హయ్యర్ స్టెప్. అనాత్మ షుడ్ నాట్ ప్రొడ్యూస్ ఇన్ అస్ ఏ డిఫికల్ట్ వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ఏ టైప్ ఆఫ్ మిస్అండర్స్టాండింగ్ దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ మిథ్యా, ఇట్ ఈస్ అన్రియల్ అండ్ ఇట్ డ్రాప్స్ అవే ఇన్ టు నథింగ్నెస్. నో, ఇట్ బికమ్స్ ఎక్స్పాండెడ్ ఇన్ టు ది హయ్యర్ వన్. నథింగ్ ఈస్ లాస్ట్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈస్ గెయిన్డ్. ది ఇన్ఫినిటీ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ సీమింగ్లీ ఈజ్ గెయిన్. దిస్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ది ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ అపవాద. ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్, దిస్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో కాల్డ్ స్లోలీ ఎక్స్పాండింగ్ అవర్ సెల్స్ కాల్డ్ ఉపాసన. యాజ్ వీ అప్రోచ్ నియరర్ టు గాడ్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ బికమ్స్ గాడ్లీ. వెన్ వీ బికమ్ వన్ విత్ గాడ్, నథింగ్ ఎల్స్ రిమైన్స్ ఎక్సెప్టింగ్ గాడ్ అండ్ అబౌట్ హోమ్ వీ కెన్ నెవర్ టెల్. దిస్ ఇస్ ది ఫైనల్లీ మర్జ్ ఆల్ ది 16 కలాస్ అండ్ ఇన్ ది వే దట్ ది ఉపనిషత్ హెస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్. దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు సీ. అండ్ కఠ ఉపనిషత్ ఆల్సో సపోర్ట్స్ ది సేమ్ థింగ్. వాట్ వీఆర్ టాకింగ్, వట్ ఈస్ ఇట్? యు రిజాల్వ్ ది లోయర్ ఇన్ టు ది హయ్యర్. యు ఎక్స్పాండ్ ది లోయర్ ఇన్ టు ది హయ్యర్. యు ఇంక్లూడ్ ది లోయర్ ఇన్ టు ది హయ్యర్. దిస్ ఈస్ వాట్ హీ సేస్. ఇంద్రియేభ్యః పరా మనః పరా, సారీ, ఇంద్రియేభ్యః పరాహ్యర్థః అర్థేభ్యశ్చ పరం మనః, మనసస్తు పరా బుద్ధి, యో బుద్ధేః ఆత్మా మహాన్ పరః. బియాండ్ ది సెన్సెస్ ఆర్ ది రూడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్. బియాండ్ దిస్ రూడిమెంట్స్ ఈజ్ ది మైండ్. బియాండ్ ది మైండ్ ఈజ్ ఆత్మ నోన్ యాజ్ మహత్. అండ్ దెన్ వాట్ ఈస్ దేర్? మహతః పరం అవ్యక్తం, అవ్యక్తాత్ పురుషః పరః, పురుషాత్ న పరం కించిత్, సా కష్ఠ సా పరాగతి. బియాండ్ ది గ్రేట్ ఆత్మన్ ది అన్మానిఫెస్టెడ్. బియాండ్ ది అన్మానిఫెస్టెడ్ ఈజ్ ది పురుష. బియాండ్ ది పురుష దెర్ ఈస్ నథింగ్. దిస్ ఈస్ ది పురుష ది ప్రశ్నోపనిషత్ ఈస్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్. షోడశ కళా పురుష, దట్ ఈస్ ది ఎండ్, దట్ ఈస్ ది గోల్, అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ వీ కెనాట్ టాక్ అబౌట్. అండ్ సిన్స్ భగవద్గీత ఈజ్ ది ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆల్ ఉపనిషత్స్, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో టాకింగ్ ఇన్ ది థర్డ్ చాప్టర్ 42nd as well as the 43rd శ్లోక ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ ది సేమ్ థింగ్. ఇంద్రియాణి పరాణ్యాహు, ఇంద్రియేభ్యః పరం మనః, మనసస్తు పరా బుద్ధిః, బుద్ధేః పరతస్తు సః. ది సెన్సెస్ ఆర్ సుపీరియర్ టు డల్ మ్యాటర్. మైండ్ ఈజ్ హయ్యర్ దాన్ ది సెన్సెస్. ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఈజ్ స్టిల్ హయ్యర్ దాన్ ది మైండ్. అండ్ ది సోల్ ఈజ్ సోల్ మీన్స్ హియర్ సగుణ బ్రహ్మ, ఈవెన్ హయ్యర్ దాన్ ది ఇంటెలిజెన్స్. ఏవం బుద్ధేః పరం బుద్ధ్వా సంస్తభ్య ఆత్మానం ఆత్మన జయశత్రుం మహాబాహు కామరూపం దురాసదం. ఈవెన్ దట్ విచ్ ఈస్ బియాండ్ దిస్ థింకింగ్ పవర్, బియాండ్ ఆల్ ఉపాసనాస్, పరం దట్ హయ్యెస్ట్ పుష, బుద్ధ్వా హావింగ్ రియలైజ్డ్ అండ్ కీప్, దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ నిర్వికల్ప సమాధి. ఫస్ట్ సవికల్ప, దెన్ నిర్వికల్ప. సంస్తభ్య being firmly established in that state by self effort, of course by the grace of the God you remain, then only this kamarupa enemy can be completely conquered. I hope I have given some succinct meaning why this purusha 16 kalas is, it is like steps so that we can ascend through upasana. Now when a person succeeds in reaching the Purusha and then he becomes merged with the Purusha, and there, remember, he doesn't say, now I am the Purusha. There will be nobody to say, even though for the sake of conveying the knowledge we say that Aham Brahmasmi, the Guru says, Tattvamasi, thou art Brahman, and through sadhana, by Guru's grace, attain that Aham Brahmasmi. Really it is to convey the idea which is far below. That's why Sri Ramakrishna says, even to talk about God, my mind has to descend far, far below. Then only the mind will work. Then only it can really be able to think and then to express in the form of words, etc. And in this fifth mantra, we are coming very end. What happens? And beautifully, the description is given through an example. And this example is given by every scripture, even including the Ramakrishna also. Fifth mantra. Sa yatha imaha nadyaha sendamanaha samudrayanaha samudram prapyaha tam astam gacchanti vidyate tasam namarupe samudra ityevam prochyate. Evameva asya paridrashto imaha shodashakalaha purushayanaha purusham prapyaha tam gacchanti vidyate cha asam namarupe purusha ityevam prochyate. Marvelous description. Then it ends, Sayeshaha, the highest Purusha, Akalaha, is partless, Amrutaha, immortal, and the Sadhaka, he knows, I am really Akalaha, partless. That means, I will be that infinite Brahman. I was completely free. That is called Amrutaha, Bhavati, Tadesha Slokaha. There is a supporting mantra which will come in the sixth shloka. As these flowing rivers bound for the ocean disappear into the ocean after having reached it, their names and forms being destroyed, and thenceforward they are simply called the ocean. Even so, the upasaka, when he does the upasana, these 16 parts of the Purusha, whose goal is the Purusha, disappear into the Purusha after having reached him, and all the sadhakas, their names and forms being destroyed, and are simply called the, everyone is called Brahman, the Purusha. He becomes free of parts and becomes immortal. This is the beautiful description. Now, this is very easy to understand. So, yatha, like, sa means this sadhaka, this upasaka, having successfully merging the lower manifestation into its higher manifestation, as we discussed elaborately in this today's class. For that, an illustration is given. Syandamanaha nadyaha. Nadyaha. That is, there are so many. Could be 10, could be 100. But here, so Narmade Sindhu Kaveri. So Gange cha Yamune chaiva Godavari Sarasvati Narmade Sindhu Kaveri. These are 7 sacred rivers. But there are hundreds and hundreds of rivers. And then what do they do? Samudrayanaha. That is to say, their one goal in life from the beginning of their birth is, I must become Samudra. I must reach Samudra. I must merge in Samudra, ocean. Then why? Because they are originated from Samudra and they become water. The clouds lift them up. The sun lifts them up and then distills the water, and in the form of clouds carries it further in the highest peaks of the mountains. He again lets them come down in the form of water, and it be rain, and it becomes slowly trickling of the water, streams, rivers, small rivers, big rivers, ultimate goal. Because our ultimate goal is to go back to that Mahakarana from where we have come. Prapyaha, what happens? This here is Godavari, here is Saraswati, here is Yamuna, etc. They are all different names, different colors, different tastes, and different powers. But as soon as they reach, what happens? Samudram prapya. Having reached the Samudra, astam gacchanti, they become one with the ocean. What happens? Namarup, tasam namarupe. Their names, their forms, their gunas, vidyehe, they all become completely one. Then, thereafterwards, what do we call it? Samudraha ityevam prochyate. We call it. They don't call it. Because they are not there. They have become the Samudra. And we, who reach the Samudra, say, oh, this is Samudra. And as I said, this is the continuous process that is going on. And this was the greatest discovery of our rishis. And this is called Ritam. And all is going on. The sun rises and he shines and he sustains the entire world. And he goes back, he sets. That is also for the sake of sustaining. Then he rises in the form of the moon, in the form of the stars, in the form of a night, in the form of the day, all for the good of the world, for the protection of the jivas. Exactly in the same way, evameva, exactly in the same way, paridrashtu imaha, all the sadhakas, who are they? Purushayanaha. Ayana means my highest goal. What is the highest goal? Purusha. I must reach the Purusha. Why? Because I came as if seemingly from the Purusha, and I thought I was separate from Purusha. I was thinking I was the body, I was the mind, I was the panchabhutas, I was the prana, I was the faith, etc. No, I am only that highest Purusha. Now I understand it by the grace of the Guru and Shastra and God, and I must reach Manachalo Nijane Ketane, and that Purusha, as if descended, seemingly descended into the 16, one after the other, down, 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 and I am completely devoted. I want to reach that goal. This is called God realization. So, imaha paridrashtuhu, all these sadhakas bent on reaching that ocean called Purusha, Purusham Prapya. As soon as they reach, this is Ramo, a jivatma. No, this is Purusha. This is Rama. This is Krishna. This is Ramakrishna. This is Buddha. This is Jesus. I am only mentioning their names, but every saint, this is Tukaram, this is Mirabai, this is Tyagaraja, Purandadasa, Kanakadasa, etc., etc. All these will be lost. Who is he? Brahman. Who is he? Brahman. No he, no she, no it, only Brahman. Purusham Prapya, Astam Gacchan. What does it mean? That their samsara comes to an end. Henceforward, what are they called? They are only called by one name, Brahman, Brahman, Brahman. What happens? Their nama, Tukaram, Mirabai, Tulsidasa, Surudasa, Kabirdasa, Tyagaraja, and Ramdasa. Every name, every quality, wherever they are born, everything, every guna, completely gone. But until they are alive, and their biographies, they are different facets of the same Purusha, especially when they have become the saints. They express different facets. So, vidyetecha asam namarupi. Just like all the names and forms and qualities of the rivers completely disappear, becoming one. That means the ocean becomes an unmanifested form of everything, just as gold becomes unmanifested form of every single ornament that was, that is, and that will be made until the end of creation. Vidyete cha asam nama rupe purushah iti evam proje. Thereafter, is called Tyagaraja, Tyaga Brahma, is called Tukaram Brahma, is called Jesus Brahma, is called Allah Brahma, is called Radha Brahma, Meera Brahma, Ramadasa Brahma, Purandaradasa Brahma. Because they are only, but only Brahman. They know it. We may not know it, but we have to come to know about them through this scripture. Iti evam pruchyate. This is the meaning, not difficult, but only 2 points I wanted to point out before I close today's, and I will sum up tomorrow, having completed the other two, and announce also what are the 2 points. First of all, we are already in that state of ignorance, identifying ourselves with the lowest, which is called Nama and Rupa. But there will come a time, because of our living maybe thousands of times as human being, slowly our hearts become pure, and then a desire comes. What Bhagavad Gita calls, Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam, Janaha Sukrutino Arjuna, Artho Jignasu Rathyarthi Jnani Cha Bharatarsha. First comes distress, Gajendra, Draupadi, etc. Then comes like Dhruva, etc. Wanting to have more and more and more. This is called Artha Bhaktas, Arti and Artha. And then we progress. I had enough of this experience. I paid heavy price. I want to go to my mother, is what Sri Ramakrishna in his simple language says. Child is absorbed in play, mother is calling, but he will not even hear. But he gets hungry, and the result of playing is getting hungry, and then he kicks the whole lot, and then he doesn't care that somebody is going to take them, and then he runs to mother, and then he clings and says, "Ma, I'm hungry. Immediately, give me food." And this is the fate of all of us. And that is called Jignasu Avastha. And then in course of time, by God's grace, through further sadhana, we become Jnanis. Jnani cha Bharatarsha Chaturvidha Bhajante Ma. So, the whole prapancha, samsara, is a divine leela. And it is for this divine leela, about which I will talk in tomorrow's class. This is the process. Once I know, they are called Purushayamana. Purushayana. Ayana means the highest goal. Purusha is the highest goal. And every one of us, every soul is bending its way towards its origin, which is Brahman. This is what Swami Vivekananda says. Each soul is potentially divine. And this is a teleological urge. In philosophy, it is not that it is a option or a choice, but we can postpone it for some more births. But ultimately, each one of us must get there. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagatguru Padapadme Tayoho Sritva Pranamami Mohurmuhu. May the Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.